Yo, what's the deal, baby? This your boy, Uncle Luke, formerly of the 2 Live Crew. You are listening to Pass It Down with Mike Silver and Natalie Silver. Natalie is the most beautiful young lady in this deal right here. Mike doesn't look so good, even though they're dad and daughter. It's the big show, baby.
So we got into some of the Silver and Kerr family competitive dysfunction in our first episode. We're going to continue along that line, but we're also going to talk some hoops.
So when you're watching Last Dance, which I assume you guys are, I mean, one thing that kind of strikes me is that here we're in this era where, like, literally every single thing that happens is always on video. And this wasn't that long ago. And Steve, apparently there's zero footage of us ever going out in the 90s, which, by the way, was, it's not like we were hiding. We're, you know, the Rodman, like, going out thing was the most conspicuous thing ever. And there doesn't seem to be any video.
Thank God. Thank God. yeah, it's a different. I think the video stuff, I don't know. I think Natalie and Maddie can speak to this, but the video stuff just became so much more prevalent with cell phones. I mean, just cell phone cameras, because, I mean, it's like standard for you guys, right? Growing up to just, like, take photos and post them online, take videos, send them to each other. Like, everything's kind of shared now. It wasn't that way, you know, back in the day. I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty glad. I don't think I want to see a video of you guys out at some club.
Definitely.
I agree. I just like to see about 10 seconds just to, like,
yeah, we wouldn't. I think you're not hearing. We don't need it.
I'm good.
I mean, going out with Rodman, that seems pretty hardcore. How did you guys play? I mean, this was happening during the season. You must have had to play hungover or practice hungover. How did that go?
Well, Dennis did. You know, we were observers. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. We were mere observers. No, we had Mike wrote a story for Sports Illustrated that was centered on one night when Judd Bushler and I went out with Rodman during the season. And it was literally at the request of Phil Jackson. Phil pulled us aside after a game in Philadelphia and said, "Hey, Steve and Judd, you know, Dennis is kind of drifting away from the team. I want you guys to go to Atlantic City with him tonight. He's planning on going down there. I want you to accompany him and just hang out, have fun with him. And, you know, that'll bring him back into the group." This was the genius of Phil Jackson. I mean, what coach would actually ask two of his players to go out all night to Atlantic City? With
him? Oh my God.
And it didn't happen often. It was, I mean, Dennis, it did. He was a maniac, and he could do that and still come back the next night and get 20 rebounds. And, you know, the rest of us couldn't do that. Well, Michael could do that too, but Judd Bushler and I definitely couldn't. So this literally happened, you know, a small handful of times during our time there. And it was pure insanity. As Mike, as you know, because you wrote, did you write one or two books with Dennis?
I turned down the first one, which was a marketing genius move by me. And I did do the second one.
Yeah.
And Maddie, I don't know if you know this, but we, so I did a story on Steve for Sports Illustrated, and it was kind of a setup because they told me, "Hey, write about the two of you and how you guys, you know, made it to this level together, and you're writing and he's playing, and send us your old Riptide columns and all that." And then when I ultimately wrote the story, they were like, "Wow, you're pretty self-absorbed. I thought it was a story about Steve Kerr. What's your deal?" But the great thing is I dredged up the original, which no one has ever seen, which was, you know, really good. And so we, to do the story, Natalie was, I think, 8 months old, 7 months old. But Leslie and Natalie and I flew to Chicago, and we stayed at the house in Lake Forest with you guys. And so Nick's in the story, Maddie's in the story, Natalie's in the story, the original. And there's some great moments, including Nick throwing a tantrum at the photographer during the photo shoot, at which point the photographer, Al Thielman, says he's the Albert Bell of kids. Albert Bell was a star on the Cleveland Indians who had like attacked a photographer recently, I think. And then there's this other part where Nick plays a video game as the Bulls against the Sonics, which was a rematch of the previous year's NBA Finals. And the Sonics kill the Bulls in the video game, and Nick is convinced that their real game in two nights, that's an accurate predictor of what's going to happen. And Steve says, Nick, there's no way that we're going to get killed by the Sonics. And then the game plays out, and Steve makes this great 3-point play, and they win, and we're in the stands with Margo, and Margo says, I can't wait to tell Nick.
She's like, Nick's going to freak out.
And then there was this line where we went to the Navy Pier, and Leslie's holding Natalie and Margo's holding Maddie, and they're playing this one of those driving games, those video games where you have to dodge obstacles and drive crazy fast. And Steve kind of looks up and goes, you know, this is pretty true to life. I see Margo do this on Waukegan Avenue weekly.
Oh my God, this is great. I'm getting family stories from you that I have long since forgotten.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I've seen that original article, by the way, if you have a
question. I'm gonna send it to you, A, because why would I write something that I didn't want everyone to see, God forbid, and B, I just would like to note that my self-absorption, as always, was the right instinct. And, you know, the story that ran in SI was fine. I mean, of course it was, let's be honest. But yeah, I really feel as though the intended version should be shared. So Steve, have you ever asked any Warriors to go out and drink all night the night before a game?
No.
Themselves, I mean. Have you ever pulled the Phil Jackson?
No, not quite like that. But I have taken a lot of Phil's lessons in terms of thinking outside the box and not just falling into, you know, what would every coach in America do in this situation. You know, I just think that was a really amazing part of Phil's coaching, that he just seemed to understand people. And it just isn't so simple to just say, all right, here are our team rules. Nobody ever gets to do anything other than this, and then coach that way. It just doesn't work that way, especially today. So I've tried to take some of those lessons from Phil and show some leeway and think outside the box a little bit.
Maddie, I know, like, I've tried to describe what Dennis is like to people at times, and you know, he's, when he decides that he likes you, he's like, he's got this, he kind of is almost a pleaser, like he wants to please you, and he's kind of sensitive sometimes. And so there's this story where
I don't know if Maddie even knows this, because I didn't know it until way after the fact.
Yeah, so there had been during the playoffs, I feel like it was maybe 2016, Dennis and I had been talking about trying to go to a game, a finals game maybe, and at some point I get texted a picture from Maddie. And it's Maddie, it's you two at a party, right?
I think we I don't know. I think we were just on the street. I think we ran into each other.
Maybe.
I don't know, honestly.
Maybe some booze involved. But Maddie texted me a picture of her and Natalie, I think flipping off me as a joke, the camera. And Dennis and I had just had a conversation about, you know, Natalie, because he met Natalie when she was little, and he met Maddie. So I'm like, yeah, they go to Cal together, and how crazy it was. So I sent the photo to Dennis when I got it, and he called me like 20 seconds later, like super upset, because he thought that you guys were flipping him off.
Oh my
And I had to be like, no, dude, that was for me. And like, no, they love you. Like, don't worry. They've heard only good things. Like, but like classic, you know, he can hang with Kim Jong-un and, you know, be unfazed, but that shook him. Maddie, isn't there some story, maybe I'm wrong on this, isn't there some story about Nick when he first met Kendall's family throwing a remote or something?
Well, I think he does that a lot, so that's not... I do think there was a story. I don't know if it was in front of her family, but I'm pretty sure he... So Nick's... For some backstory, Nick's fiance now.
Wow.
Yeah, they're engaged. They were long distance. She lived in Chicago for like 3 years, and then she finally moved out to San Francisco, and now they're there. But so, you know, he would visit her, and they'd only see each other once or twice a month probably, so their weekends were pretty sacred. And I think the Warriors, it might have been right after the Warriors lost, whatever, 16. And I think they were at a bar and in Kendall's hometown in Indiana, and with all of her friends, and it was kind of like early on in their relationship. So he, you know, was meeting people for the first time, and they're in the Midwest, so there are a lot of Cavs fans at the bar. And they're doing like a replay of a bunch of highlights from the game. And people are like really excited. And I don't think anyone taunted Nick or anything, or even like knew his connection. But Nick stormed out of the bar and like left Kendall there with her. And her friends are all like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, what's he pissed off about? So I think he ruined like a whole weekend. She's a saint. Actually,
yeah, she is.
Yes. Yeah, he was just auditioning. It's good. I mean, I personally love Cavs fans. They're my favorite. I love them.
Maddie, didn't you get like bumped or harassed by some Cavs fans in Cleveland?
Yeah, it might have been an accident. Who knows? I'm not really sure. I don't want to like...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't want to make any false assumptions. I definitely got elbowed in the head fairly much. Another time, though, there was a guy sitting behind us. And I don't think we don't wear like a ton of Warriors gear, but we were probably wearing blue and yellow or something. And a guy was like one seat behind us, you know, so probably 3 feet away, was chucking handfuls of popcorn at us. That was a fun one.
Sports. Gotta love sports.
I want to go on my rant here. I know that I'm a terrible fan, like all fans, and I, you know, with Cal or watching my kids' teams, you know, but I also feel like I'm not quite at the level of stupid as some fans. And for example, so... The 2016 season, I think of it as this incredible thing where, as a Warrior fan, you were down 3-1 to the Thunder, and you know that game six in Oklahoma City and was one of the most epic things ever. And Natalie and I got to watch game seven in a suite with Bill Walton. I mean, it was like we were in heaven.
And Bernie Sanders was there.
Bernie Sanders showed up
in the nosebleeds. Like,
oh, I remember that.
Yeah. and then we met Dave Chappelle afterwards.
Yeah. And okay, side note, I didn't know it was Dave Chappelle because he got so ripped. Like, I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's so buff.
Anyway, so yeah, we sat at a table in the BMW club for like an hour. And Natalie, after he leaves, is like, why are you being so nice to that guy? And I'm like, because it's fucking Dave Chappelle.
Also, one more thing. He was wearing these glasses. And he was like talking to me. And he was like, hey, you know, like my glasses are indestructible. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. And then he was like, no, seriously, they're indestructible glasses. And I just thought he was drunk. And he goes, here, try to break them. And so I take the glasses and I wind up to throw them. And he's like, what are you doing? Give me my glasses. And then my dad, you know, Chappelle was saying like, you know, I got a kid and I would love for him to go to Berkeley. I mean, I don't think he can get in, or, but he's smart. Like, I don't know. I've never seen the campus. And so my dad goes, oh, well, you know, my daughter goes there and here's her number.
You were literally a tour guide at the time. You worked as a tour guide. Yeah.
So he gave him my number and I'm like, why are you doing this? What do you like? And then afterwards I thought out it was Chappelle. He never texted.
But by the way, Natalie as a tour guide tended to go off script a little. Like what, like, wouldn't you make death of free speech comments?
Yeah, but like. Those were dark days in my life. Like, we don't need to talk about.
What'd you say? What'd you say? Like to groups of families touring Cal?
Well, I just remember the day after the election, I had a tour and I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And I go up and my boss talks to me and they're like, you know what? Like, there's a lot of there are a lot of demonstrations going on campus right now. Obviously, it's a weird day. Just try to avoid everything and just avoid the sit-ins. Avoid, you know, people with microphones or megaphones. Just kind of try to keep it tame. And I was like, no. And so I just literally took them to this sit-in on Sproul, and I was like, all right, you guys can sit here and demonstrate. If you guys have any questions, I'll be here. And I left.
didn't you once sarcastically say, like, you saw some conservative protesters and said, oh my God, you guys, we got to have a moment of silence because free speech is dead?
Or something. I was not the most popular employee, but it's the little things, right? Anyways, wait, what were we talking
about? Didn't you have a sports dad question?
Yeah. I just know that my dad has had a lot of outbursts and tantrums and, you know, embarrassing moments as a sports dad. I was just wondering if Maddie has any to share.
Or mom.
Actually,
oh, no. Yeah, or sports mom. Or sports mom moments.
I actually, I don't even have a funny story because my mom was a little bit more involved, but my dad actually took kind of he was like arm's length away when it came to my sports career. He didn't really tell me anything unless I asked. And he actually used to go and, like, I don't know, I think you like to observe the games by yourself. So you wouldn't even sit with the parents, like, that were the parents of my teammates.
Yeah, I remember
he sat very quietly.
Yeah, I used to sit apart because I'm not a huge fan of the whole parental dynamic. So I remember I'm at one of your matches and one of the fathers of one of your teammates came up to me. You guys had lost the first game. First set. And the father of your teammate comes up to me, goes, can you believe what Rich Feller, the coach, can you believe what Feller's doing with the substitution pattern? I go, look, you're barking up the wrong tree here, pal. Like, I know what it's like to be in Rich's seat, and I'm not going to be one of those parents who's complaining about the coach, because that's what everybody does to me when I'm making decisions. I like to sit kind of on my own and just observe the game and stay out of that stuff.
That's funny because I remember, like, one of Natalie's first little select soccer teams, the coach. My theory, she's a really nice woman. My theory was she was kind of one of those people who would proudly play lineups that didn't give them the best chance of success in big games as kind of a, see, I'm doing it the AYSO way defense mechanism in case they didn't win. But these other two dads and I used to just, like, stand over to the side, like, kind of like clutching each other because it was so, like, it made no sense in the biggest moments. And I remember after one of the games, I went up and I put my arm around her and I said, I did it to Bill Walsh. I do it to Bill Belichick. I'm doing it to you. You can't get offended. It's just, it's what I do.
I second guess everyone.
All coaches.
There was a game where I might have gotten carded or fouled. I think I got carded. And I don't think it was a very legitimate foul. Honestly, all I remember is your reaction, which is the call happens, the card is given, and I just hear from the sidelines, Do you want the instant replay? I have the instant replay right here on my phone. Goes onto the field, shows the ref his iPhone.
That's not what happened. No, this was a high school field. This was a high school field hockey game, and it's like the dumbest rules ever field hockey has. Anything that would like impede the free run of play is a rule. And Natalie breaks free on this terrible grass field with a bunch of gopher holes and is going into goal and an opposing player just reaches out her stick and hooks her, like, you know, trips her up from behind. So she goes flying. And I was surprised there wasn't a call. And the ref, you know, I'm just so loud that everyone thinks I'm always worse than I am. And I was surprised that she said something like, she kind of intimated that Natalie had fallen on her own. And I'm like, look, I got it on video right here. And
yeah, instant replay, that phrase was used.
Then there was some inconsistency later where she allowed a dad on the other side of the field to just yell out unimpeded. And I made a sarcastic comment. And then I got kicked out to the parking lot. And my big moment of victory, though, was the obnoxious dad from the other team actually walked all the way around, found me in the parking lot during the game, and put his arm around me and said, hey, man, she's in one of those moods today. Don't mind her. You weren't even that bad.
I love it. Did you frequently bond with the other obnoxious parents from the other side? Was that a
no? That was very infrequent.
Was that the only thing you ever got kicked out of as a spectator, or did that happen more than once?
I think that's the only game I ever got kicked out of. I think
the only one of mine. I think.
I mean, I kicked myself out of. One time I got so mad at one of her club soccer coaches that I threw my chair and walked off.
But yeah, no, we're not subtle.
But that was just self-eviction. Yeah, no, I don't think I got kicked out much. I mean, I didn't usually freak out on the refs too much. I just, you know, it was more nerves than anything.
As a Cal fan, though.
Thing I just realized. So in college, when I was playing volleyball, I had a bad shoulder. So I had like a torn labrum in my shoulder that I didn't have surgery on for a while. And so I played libero in the back row for the most part. So it didn't affect me too much, but my serve was horrible. It was just really weak. I couldn't hit the ball hard, you know, whatever. And I remember my dad used to get really annoyed that I didn't serve the ball hard. And one time I did hit it from the stand. So I'm on the court in Haas Pavilion, serve the ball. It's like dinky and pathetic. And I hear, that's like the one thing I can think of.
Just a heavy sigh.
It's been really funny, like indoctrinating Steve into the Cal fandom, because, you know, I don't think you ever really believe me over the years about how, you know, horrible it is and how, you know, how choky Cal teams can be, and when things look great, it's always bad. And I remember Nick at one point texting me, and he's like, is this really how it is? And I'm like, yeah, like, welcome. But Steve went with Adam Duritz, our mutual friend, and I'll be the name dropper on that
one.
But they were going to the Cal Oregon game the year Nick was a grad assistant, and really they would have made the NCAA tournament if they won that game. Huge game. And I get a text. I'm watching at home with the kids, and I get a text with 3.5 minutes to go from Steve, and Cal's up big, and he's like, looking good, go Bears. And I text him and I'm like, dude, it's Cal. Hang on for dear life. And then, you know, of course, they blow the game. And Steve's like, how did you know?
And Matthew's at SC, right? But he doesn't care about sports. Is that true?
He doesn't. No, yeah. I don't think he went to any sports games.
No, we had a great scene this morning, though, actually, because, you know, his graduation was supposed to happen today. So kind of a sad day. We were all supposed to be up, you know, on campus and at the graduation. So like a lot of schools, you know, SC instead is doing an online thing where they have all these alumni, you know, giving out messages to the students. And so Matt Leinart gets on and says, like, you know, hey, all, Trojan Nation, all you seniors, you know, you got great things ahead of you. And so my son Nick is the oldest. He's filming this, and as he's filming it, Matthew is just outside in the yard with his puppy, playing with the puppy. And he films the whole thing. He films Leinart's speech and then Matthew completely oblivious to whoever the hell Leinart is. And Nick films it and basically says, pretty much sums up everything about Matthew in sports right here.
But by the way, Matt Leinart, former Cardinal, I'm wondering how you're going to end up embracing the Cardinals, because I've noticed that, you know, you have the whole NFC West now. You know, you grew up a Ram fan. That's legit. You're doing the podcast with Pete Carroll, who's the coach of the Seahawks, and you completely bandwagoned the Niners last year with the Bay Area connection. So, yeah, all you have left are the Cardinals. And by the way, Matt Leinart once, we're good, we're friends, but he once tried to deny he had said some things to me that I printed, and then followed it up with a text to me that said, why did you write what I said? Which, you know, if it were a court of law, it would have been, you know, admissible. But
glad you got it.
By the way, Robbie's a high school senior, and, you know, we're crushed about him missing all his stuff. That college graduation, that is brutal. I guess the only silver lining is that it spared you an in-person SC experience. Because, Maddie, you know, Steve and I grew up rooting for UCLA heavily, hating SC, and, you know, that stuff never really leaves your blood, and SC is kind of hateful. So when I found out that Matthew was going to SC, you know, Steve was so happy, and he's like, it's, you know, it's a great program, really hard to get in. It's great that he's in California. He's not really into the sports thing, but Steve was like ecstatic that his son was going to this great program at SC. And, you know, so I know I sound psycho, but on a human level, I was like, that's so great. My friend's son is going to this great school and he's so happy about it. And so I was like fully on board. And one day I start getting these videos texted to me, and it's Steve sitting at orientation in real time watching the USC marching band play its obnoxious song. And he's texting me and he's like, what the fuck have I done? This is the worst day of my life. It was awesome. And you get to pay.
That's right. I've never followed through on it, but over the last few years, I really wanted to get a shirt that just said, fight on, USC School for the Cinematic Arts. just to be very specific about my
school dad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, you guys have been awesome. You have devoted an hour plus of your quarantined reality to our initial podcast. So we love you to death, and we look forward to seeing you in person when humans once again congregate.
I don't know. I heard it was a Democratic hoax. That's the word on the street.
Oh, did you want to ask Steve and Maddie that last parting question about the...
Oh, yeah. We have a pretty actually serious one for you guys this time, just to kind of switch the tone. And I really just want, you know, an honest answer maybe from each of you if you're comfortable. So if after the next championship, you guys have to meet with one of the following politicians, which one would you choose? Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Bill Barr, Lindsey Graham, or Devin Nunes? Thank you.
That's it? Those are our choices?
That's the Fab Five.
Wow.
Maddie, would you want to take a crack at that answer?
can I wear like a SWAT team outfit? Like,
yes, you may.
Like sanitation suits.
I think that's understandable. You don't even have to answer. We'll even give you an all of the above choice.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I'll just share this. I wouldn't want to meet with any of them, but I think that's fairly obvious given what you know about me and my leanings. But you mentioned my podcast that I do. I had Michael Lewis on.
Nice.
Pete and I had Michael Lewis on, which was really fun. And we were asking him what's next on the, the frontier of sports, because you remember he wrote Moneyball, which was incredible about, analytics in terms of player acquisition. And then the next phase has become player development. They're using analytics and player development now, not just player acquisition. So they're really helping players become better in baseball using cameras and video and math. And it's really a fascinating subject. And so Michael was talking about that. And I said, well, what's next? And he said, well, to be honest, the next great frontier is coaching. And he said, if you think about it, not just in sports, he said, but in life, we just need great coaching, and there's an opportunity for better coaching to take over. And he said, I will use the analogy of our country right now. He said, if you think about our country, what we are is a super talented team with a lousy coaching staff. And I thought, oh my God, that's the greatest analogy ever.
Yeah.
Because we do. We have so many talented people, and we have all these amazing scientists and entrepreneurs and educators, and we have so much potential, and yet we have this coaching staff that's basically dividing us and leading us in the wrong direction. So I love that whole I love that analogy, and I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I would take it one step further. We have a great talented team with terrible coaching. And in the post-game press conference, after a 30-point defeat, the head coach tells everybody how great of a victory it has been and how the undefeated season continues.
Well, and he then goes further and takes the guards and says to the guards, man, the big man sucked tonight, didn't they? And then maybe says the same thing to the big men about the guards. So it's like having a coaching staff that is purposely dividing the team and sending out false information. That's pretty much what we have, guys.
It's the best. Well, we if we're allowed out of our houses in early November, we are going to have, we hope, one of the great parties in humanity. So we look forward to sharing there. That moment with you.
We'll be there.
I love it. Thanks so much, you guys. You guys are the best.
Thanks, guys.
That was fun.
Nice talking to you.
You're the best. Bye.